today as we come to the table.
So God's not going to say, do it, and then say, well, now, good luck, you can't do it. No, I'll give you the power, God says, but you take step number one. But now that's step one, and that may be all that you can do today. Only God can do that. Nobody else can drive that car down to your heart. It's going to be sitting right up here until God does it. You take step number one, but then this, God wants you to pray for his power to let it get to your heart, because only when it gets to your heart can it be this, from his heart, from his heart. We can do the right thing mentally, and I commend that. I commend the right thing mentally. That's a good thing. That's your starting point. We all start there. But it can't end there. And if you do that in your mind today, you've got to ask God to bring it down to the heart. If you've already done it in the mind, then God's saying, now I want you to get it down to your heart.
Everyone is struggling with something in their life. We all have our different issues that hold us back, and often it seems beyond redemption. Today, Pastor Mark wants you to know that no matter where you're at in life, Jesus wants to pull you out of the darkness and save you from yourself. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor at Calvary Knoxville. Whether you're choosing to ignore your issues or fix them yourself, Jesus has a plan for you and wants to save you. Stop letting the darkness in your life overwhelm you and let Jesus lead you to a bright future. He will never leave your side through all of your trials. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
So sometimes you can't be around somebody. It doesn't mean you don't forgive them, but if they're going to continue to do it, separate yourself and don't allow that pain to continue. But he's making a point. You're so limited. Your teachers say three. You've been magnanimous to bump it to seven. I'm saying, no, multiply that to times 70. Make it 490. And that's not the point. It's not how many. It's not that you get to 490 and now you can punch the guy. What he's saying is there's no limit. There's no limit. And now the Lord's going to jump into his example that he uses here of no limit of forgiveness, showing how great our God is, how vast his resources, how vast his forgiveness, how great our debt is. By the way, a debt we could never pay, right? And so notice here he says in verse 23, therefore, he's going to paint a picture for him. I love it when the Lord does this. I'm very visual. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, I love this because, again, Jesus starts out with the foundational truth that we all need to grasp and deal with pertaining to sin and forgiveness right off the bat. And that is, there will be a day and a time for each of us to stand before the king and settle accounts. The question is, are you ready? We don't know when our day is going to be. And I'm not going to give the scare tactic. You may die today. Well, but you may. I may. You know, I jokingly said that last night, but Lord, don't let me die in the pulpit. That'd be traumatic for everybody, right? But I don't know when I'm going to die. Here's what I do know. When I do, it's like game over, you know, right? No more quarters. Of course, now it's probably no more, what, 50-cent pieces or dollars or whatever. But I'm standing before the Lord. There he is, and there I am. Hello, Lord. Wow. Guys, it could happen today. Think about that. Today. That's exciting in one way, that today we could be standing before the Lord. But it's also terrifying in another way is, where are we in our relationship to God? If we don't know God, it's terrifying because now we have to give account for the fact we never put our faith in his son, and that's our last hope. There's no other chance. You don't get a second chance once you've died. That's it. Once you die, it's now time for judgment. That's how that works. Now, they're broken up in different, you know, times of judgment, but it's done. There's nothing else you can do in this body to change anything. So there's a fearful thing in the sense of being an unbeliever. And by the way, if you don't know the Lord today, I encourage you, get that right with God now. You know, confess your sin. Ask God to forgive you. Believe that he died for you on the cross and receive him. It's not just a religious thing to do. We're talking about your eternity, your forever and ever and ever that never ends. So be ready for that. But what about those of us as believers? We have the same thing. What's going to happen? Boom, suddenly we're there. And then we're going to be standing before the Lord. Now, the believer is going to be judged based on what they did or didn't do with Jesus Christ. And they're going to be eternally condemned because of it. We're going to be judged on the same thing, but not on whether we're condemned. We're saved. We're going to be in the kingdom of God, but we're going to be evaluated as to our faithfulness and whether we serve the Lord and how we walk with God. And there's going to be reward given or lack thereof, depending on that. And yet at the same time, it's still going to be a fearful thing to stand before the Lord. So we have to be ready to give an account. And the first challenge I give is, are we ready? Are you ready to give an account to the Lord? Because it could happen at any time. And by the way, it's going to happen at some point. 10 out of 10 of us die. It's just a fact. We're going to die at some point, you know. And so whether it's young, whether it's old, we're all going to die in these bodies, and then we stand before the Lord. So he brings them to settle accounts. Now, again, the picture of what they're seeing is a king who's calling all of his servants in throughout the kingdom, every one of them. Go out and get them, bring them in. They've all got to stand before me, not unlike us standing before God in heaven. And we're going to settle up. It's time to settle up. Okay, we're done. This is it. I'm calling everybody today. Your loan is due today. What you owe me is due today. That's a scary thought. Imagine if all your loans were called today. Everything you owe right now, if you can't pay it today, you're going to prison. Now you get an idea of what's going on here. How many of us would be in prison? Most all of us, right? So the idea is this is a serious thing here that's happening. And notice this, when he had begun to settle the accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, first of all, this shows how immensely wealthy the king was that someone could even owe that kind of money. As we find out in just a moment how much it is, but the fact this man owed this kind of money is also astounding. Now, if you go and you read the commentaries and you do your homework, which I've done, you're going to find like a pretty large array of different opinions of how much money that translates into today. And by the way, even if you were able to nail down what it translated into today, by last week, it would have changed this week because of inflation. But either way, the bottom line is I was looking for something. Okay, what is a constant? What is a constant that I can find that will give an example to the body about what this really means? Here's what it means. One talent, according to one commentarian, if that's a word, one talent equaled 15 years of salary. That means this man owes the king 150,000 years of salary. Okay, pay that off, right? My whole life, you have to multiply. You could never pay that off. He's painting a picture here, guys, that we need to grasp. This is such a large debt that we owe. There is no way we could pay it off. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you serve. I don't care how nice you are. It makes zero difference. You are condemned and are going to be thrown in prison by the king if you don't have somebody else pay your debt. And the only other person that can pay that debt is Jesus Christ, who died for you and me on the cross. There's no other way. You think about what he did to be able to pay for our sins. Not only did he leave heaven, come down to the earth as a man. Again, we're not going to even understand what that's like until we go to heaven. I think when we see the kingdom and we see his Lord, we're going to go, you got to be kidding me. You left this and you became that. I don't think we can even make an analogy and say, it would be like being an insect. I think it's way worse than that. I think it's going to be astounding to us what he really did to become a man. Secondly, he came down to mankind that he created, and we mocked him. We abused him. We rejected him. We made fun of him. We nailed him to wood that he created. We put iron through his hands and his feet that he created. People mocked him on the cross with voices he gave them and the air to use for each breath they gave him. He gave the spit that they spit in his face with. He gave them the hands to pull the hair out. He gave all that, and he just let them do it, and he let them lift him up on the cross, and then there he was on the cross, and what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, it's not that they didn't know they were guilty. It's not that they didn't understand they were doing wrong, because I believe they did understand. At least the rabbis did. Maybe the Romans didn't. They didn't even know the situation fully, and they're just carrying out orders. But the reality is they knew. No, it's not that they didn't know. He's making a picture. It's that this is such a great debt that I have done. I am giving this debt. There's no way you could ever pay it. You can't do it yourself. And so he gives this whole picture here again of showing them this, you know, laying it out there, 10,000. Everyone there would have gone, this is impossible. There's no way that anybody could ever pay this back. This man couldn't have possibly done it. There's no way. And notice what happens here in verse 25. It says, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold. Now, first of all, this was very normal in that day. They would sell you if you couldn't pay your debt. You know, we look at biblical slavery as very different than the stuff we see today. Not that there wasn't some improper slavery back in biblical days. There was. But most of the biblical slavery predominantly was because you owed debt. And when you read about God saying, here's how you're to treat your slave, what God is talking about, here's how you're to treat the person that owes you money they can't pay off, and they've got to work it off. And so God said, nope, I'm not going to let you out of that debt. You go work it off for the family. You become their servant until your debt is paid. And so, however, if you couldn't work it off in your lifetime, then guess what they did? They went for your wife and kids. And notice that's exactly what happens. He said, not only did they come for him that he be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had. And of course, he would be sad that he lost everything and payment be made. But the hardest thing I have to believe for any man would be to see that because of his sin, his wife and his kids now have to pay that debt. How horrible is that? And yet he's going, they're the ones suffering the consequence for what I've done. And so, again, it reminds me of David when God was judging the nation of Israel because of something David had done. And David said, Lord, I did this. Judge my family. But what have the sheep done? Why are you doing it to them? The problem is when we sin, it affects those around us. We might think it's only us it affects. That's not the case. It affects others around us, especially when it comes to family. And so he's in this horrible place realizing, I have caused myself to go into slavery. Now my wife and children, how young were they? They're going to serve from little tiny toddlers all the way up till the day they die. Who could pay back 150,000 years worth of debt? It's impossible. And so again, I just imagine him and just the terror in his heart. And notice what he does. Then it says, verse 26, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? You really think you can pay me all? You know you can't pay back 150,000 years worth of salary. You can't do this. It's impossible. But isn't this what we do in our desperation? Now, here's what the point he's making. When we realize that we cannot pay the debt, that we are condemned before God, that there's no way into heaven unless somebody else takes care of this debt, if we will break and fall down before this magnanimous king, he will extend forgiveness. And that's exactly what the Lord is showing. That is great news. Notice this. Look at verse 27. It says, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. Again, here's the king being moved with compassion. And he released him and he forgave him his debt. Can you imagine the joy at that moment? Can you imagine the man going, the king just looking at him and the joy that filled the king's heart to be able to say, I was simply waiting on you to ask forgiveness. That's all it took. You couldn't pay me back. It's impossible. But all you had to do was fall before me with a true heart and ask, and I would forgive you. And you've done that. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Go get your family and wife and kids. You have no debt. What? I'm forgiven. Yes, you're forgiven. And the excitement and both of them just being excited, the joy as the man skips out of the room and the king, you know, the Bible says it's greater to give than to receive. The king is going, you know, the joy that filled the king's heart. Beautiful scene up to this point. However, now we see where God deals with us in our unforgiveness and as believers, how we're supposed to deal with it. Look at verse 28. But here we go. Shift change. Scene change, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. We'll talk about that in a moment. He laid his hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. Again, although this man could not pay his debt and he had been forgiven this huge debt, what does he do? He runs out to a brother that owes him way less and says, pay back what you owe. And thus he grabs him by the throat. I mean, this is a life-threatening situation. And he's saying, you're going to pay me. I might even kill you or throw you in prison or whatever the case, the anger, the bitterness coming out. And remember, the rabbi said, hey, it's okay to get physical. You can get physical. So they no doubt were, you know, they would have understood this and said, this is great. But note this, a denarii was a day's wage. So when it says he owed him 100 denarii, he owed him basically 100 days worth of work. We would say basically 3 months worth of salary. Now, this man had just been forgiven 150,000 years of salary. He goes to his brother who has done way less, been forgiven way less, doesn't need to be forgiven as much, I should say. He owes 3 months worth of salary back to him, and he goes, I'm going to throw you in prison. I'm not going to do it until you pay it all. I'm going to hold this against you. Notice the contrast the Lord is making. What the Lord is saying is, with the unbelievable amount of forgiveness that I've given you, way more than you could ever dream or imagine, you're going to refuse to forgive your brother? And we're going to see that it makes the Lord angry. There's a picture here of the Lord being angry. Again, the Lord is doing two things here. Again, he's not saying, as we mentioned earlier, that what the man owed his friend was not significant, but compared to what he owed the king, it was nothing. And the Lord wants us to realize that. How many of us right now, think back in your mind, how many major sins are you embarrassed about and ashamed about that you're glad that most people don't know about that God has forgiven you of? There's a debt that we could never pay back. It's huge. It's larger than we can dream of. Now, how many of you right now are sitting in bitterness toward a brother or a sister that has a much smaller debt, and you refuse to forgive them? It's interesting in the language. It's in the imperfect here. It says this. Notice what it says. It says, he grabbed him by the throat. And here's the imperfect part. I'll explain that in a moment. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet. Again, just like the king, he had to be remembering, or at least the picture would have been there in his mind. And he begged him, again, the same way he had begged the king, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. Wow. Ring any bells? Here's the difference. I couldn't pay it all, but you really could. But I'm not going to let you. I'm just not going to do it. Notice what it says here. And he would not. It doesn't say he could not. It says he would not. But he went and threw him in prison until he should pay the debt. Now, again, this is where the imperfect comes in. What that means is, in the language, it speaks of something happened in a repetition. That means he over and over would not forgive him. It gives a picture of the guy saying, please forgive me. No, please forgive me. No, they're dragging him out of the room. Please forgive me. No, 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 I won't forgive you. Never will I forgive you. And then even after that, the conviction of the Spirit, hey, you know you need to forgive this guy. You know you need to deal with this girl. Let this go. No, I will not. I planted my flag. They'll never be forgiven. I'm not going to do it. And the Lord says, this is how I view that person. Look at verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. And they came and told their master all that had been done. Imagine how they run back to the king. Oh, king, live forever. Yes, what is it? You remember that guy that came in that owed you all those 150,000 years worth of 10,000 talents? You remember all that money that he owed? Yes, of course. That was glorious. That was wonderful. It was just a great family. So glad they're free and very excited about them. What a blessing. No, you don't understand, king. What? He went out to a friend of his that only owed him 3 months, 100 days work, and he threw him in prison. No. Yes, he did, O king. You bring him to me. And you talk about a countenance change. That's the picture we get of the Lord. And listen, the Lord gives us a very hard picture here. It's not that he doesn't love us. It's not that God isn't gracious. But God is saying, this is how I feel when believers will not forgive other believers. This is a big deal. He holds it very, very seriously. Matter of fact, he says in another place that if you don't forgive your brother, your father's not going to forgive you. That's a whole other teaching. We won't get into that right now. But you can see the seriousness that happens here. And notice what happens. It says, and then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant. Wow. This is hard language. Again, what God is saying is this, if we have been forgiven by the Lord so much and we refuse to forgive each other, in God's eyes, that's wicked. That's wicked. I don't like God ever using that terminology toward me, right? God's not saying you're unsaved. God's not saying whatever. God's simply saying that is wicked. That's not what I do. That's what the enemy does. My family forgives. My family shows grace, and I proved it to you by giving. If anybody had a reason to not forgive, it was Jesus Christ. He did nothing wrong, and yet he was abused and hung on a cross. He had every right to say, that's it. I'm done with them. I created them. They're unthankful. They're hard-hearted. They're unforgiving. They're this and that. Forget it. And yet he said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand their full import. They don't realize this has eternal consequences. They may know they're doing wrong temporarily, but they don't understand the eternal consequences. And yet he says, if you don't do that, if you don't forgive because of all that I've done, you're looking at me. Are you going to say to me, are you going to mock me and say, well, you forgave him, but I'm not going to forgive. Are you saying somehow you're greater than I am? Are you forgiving more than I forgave? I mean, again, this is heavy duty here. He says, you wicked servant. No doubt the guy's shrinking back at this point, realizing I'm in big trouble. He says, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. That is, you fell down before me and you asked forgiveness. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? He says, don't you see what you're doing? Look at it in contrast to what I've done for you. And that's the real eye opener. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Again, the King James and the original, until he paid the last penny. That is, you're going to be in this prison of unforgiveness until you pay it all back. Now, what do I mean a prison of unforgiveness? First of all, historically, the Romans in their prisons, they did have torturers. They'd put people in stocks and fix their ankles and their hands and lock them in there sometimes for days, even weeks. They'd bring them a small amount of bread and water. They would beat them. They abused them in the prison. Everyone knew that. And the picture the Lord is giving is this. If you refuse to forgive your brother or your sister, I'm going to make your life torturous. Now, we're not going to be in physical stocks and get beaten and all that, but he says, you're going to be an emotional mess. You're not going to be able to rest. You're going to be disturbed. Your sleep will be messed up. Maybe even your health messed up, your attitude. It's not just going to affect you, Mark. It's going to affect your whole family. Everybody around you is going to be affected if you don't deal with this. It's going to be a torturous time and a prison of unforgiveness. And some of you this morning might be in that prison. The good news is the Lord can set you free today if you respond properly, if you simply take it to the Lord. Again, we'll get to that in a moment because we're going to pray together. But notice this, he says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, and here's the clincher that really just drove it to my heart in a really challenging way this week. If each of you from his heart, that might be three of the most important words in this whole passage. If you from his heart does not forgive his brother of his trespasses, what he's saying is, look, first, step number one is, and some of you are saying this morning, I don't know that I can do this. You don't realize how badly I've been hurt. Again, remember, you're not getting them off the hook by forgiving them. You're getting yourself off the hook. You're breaking your own chains. You're getting out of the torturous world you've been living in. Let it go and let God deal with it. That's what forgiveness is about. That's one of the things forgiveness is about. But the reality is here, when he says from the heart, the first choice we have to make is in the mind. And that is we say in our mind, all right, Lord, it enters the mind. We put it, open the door, let it get in the car of your mind. Boom. All right, I'm going to choose now to forgive that person as an act of worship and an act of adoration of God and obedience. I'm going to do it. Just choose to do it. Say, well, how am I going to do that? I can't. You just choose to make the decision today. Choose to pray that prayer. If you do that, God will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to have victory in that. God would never ask you to do something he wouldn't give you the power to do. So God's not going to say, do it, and then say, well, now, good luck, you can't do it. No, I'll give you the power, God says, but you take step number one. But now that's step one, and that may be all that you can do today. Only God can do that. Nobody else can drive that car down to your heart. It's going to be sitting right up here until God does it. You take step number one, but then this, God wants you to pray for his power to let it get to your heart, because only when it gets to your heart can it be this, from his heart, from his heart. We can do the right thing mentally, and I commend that. I commend the right thing mentally. That's a good thing. That's your starting point. We all start there, but it can't end there. And if you do that in your mind today, you've got to ask God to bring it down to the heart. If you've already done it in the mind, and God's saying, now I want you to get it down to your heart, get it to your heart. Why? Because God wants us restored now. He doesn't want to wait for the kingdom. We're all going to be restored in heaven. We're not going to be in heaven going, you know, I've held this grudge against you for an awfully long time. And even a million years up here now, I've kind of had this issue, you know. But now let's just deal with this. No. It's like, you know what? We're going to be fine in heaven. It's done. But God says, I want you to be family now for a number of reasons. I want you to love each other because you're family. Number two, you're my witnesses. And I don't deal with people that way. I forgive those that come to me. And so I want you to forgive. And I want you to be my family and be my example. And it's going to be by the power of my spirit to help you do it. And it's only going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're going to be able to do it. And so that's where it leaves us today. The question is, and even before we go, that are you free? Are you in a prison right now? Are you in that? You know if you are. And you, God wants you to be free. He wants you to leave this place with the chains broken and the freedom given. And it's a done deal. But you've got to just lay it out before. And so what we're going to do as we end, we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask God now to move in all of our hearts and give us the ability to at least take step one. That is, in the mental side of things, choose to forgive. Verbalize it in your brain. Lord, I choose to forgive them. Now you drive it down to the heart, because you said, unless I do it from the heart, it doesn't count. And so, Lord, you're going to have to do that because I don't have the ability. He will give you the ability to do that. And so if you want to be free today,
are you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? Does your stress level climb when the price of gas rises? Have your hours been cut back at work? Are the bills piling up? Is it all too much to handle? Listen to this call of Jesus and let the peace wash over you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These verses are found in the book of Matthew, the same book Pastor Mark is teaching from today's message. When the world feels like it's just too much, reach out for Jesus. He is always right there for you, ready to give you rest. And as a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville, Come to the Table is here to bring you biblical teaching that you can rely on through the hard times. For more messages like today's, you can head over to thewaymedia.net. There's a tab labeled Come to the Table, where you'll find many more messages from different books of the Bible. And while you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. Come to the Table is a radio ministry that comes from the teachings of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the East Tennessee neighborhood, we'd love to have you drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Thanks so much for joining us today. Pastor Mark has more to share from Matthew. So we hope you can be with us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.